That's all right. That's all right. His little heart would just... I don't know what happened, but I guess the song controller there just done the best he could with what he got to work with. And yes, sir, I wouldn't take for that. Hey, great job. Great singing. I've been thinking about that since I heard her sing the other day. Well, not that part, but I meant, you know, and all that right there. Take your Bible, if you will, please. Have I got it on yet? I'm good. Thank you. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Mark, St. Mark chapter number 2. If you find the place you're able to stand, we're going to be looking there this morning. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And we thank God for His goodness and mercy and His divine touch. Over in the book of Mark in chapter number 2, and it's about verse number 13 in the passages that we're looking at. And He went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto Him, and He taught them. And as He passed by, saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. And He said unto him, "Follow Me." And he arose and followed Him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in His house. Now, you know, that's a good thought in case I miss it. It's a good thought to be able, when you get saved, and follow Jesus and want Him in your house. Many publicans and sinners sat also there together with Jesus and His disciples, for there were many, and they followed Him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw Him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto His disciples, "How is it that He eateth and drinketh with the publicans and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, and by the way, you're not going to say anything under your breath or out loud or thinking or thought without Him knowing it. And Jesus heard it, and He saith unto him, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast whenever they come to, and they say unto him, "Why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come whenever the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. No man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, and else the new piece that filleth it up taketh away from the old, and the rents made worse. And no man putteth the new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doeth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled. And the bottles will be marred, but new wine's put into new bottles." Now, Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and we do thank You for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank You for the good songs of Zion, the good special music that we've enjoyed together. Now bless, I pray, the remainder of this service, and speak to every heart that's here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach about the amazing touch of God. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find that you can go through, and the Bible is plastered with the information of the touch of God, the power of God, the life-changing touch of God, if you will, please. And that nobody could explain up and down the road of life. I begin to think about, you know, in the first 12 verses here that we've not read, you'll find that Christ had left the crowd, and as a result of that, they were left amazed. Look in verse 12. "And immediately he arose, he took up his bed, and he went forth unto them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and they glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" Now, I want to tell you, the Lord is able to amaze anybody and everybody. Here's a man that had been sick of the palsy. Here's a man that no doubt that needed to have forgiveness. The reason why I know that is because of the fact is that in verse number one, he's in Capernaum, and he's in a house. And in verse 2, there's no room to receive him. In verse 3, there's a sick of the palsy person that's there that's been born of 4. There's 4 of them bringing him. He obviously can't be mobile on his own. And they couldn't come nigh to the place where Jesus was in the house. And as a result of it, you remember to find out as they begin to reason in their hearts, what are we going to do? And they finally get this man that's sick of the palsy. And they get him before the Lord. And look, if you will, please, is that whenever God said, verse 5, Jesus saw their faith. Let me tell you, it's a good thing for the Lord to see our faith. It's a good thing for us to be able to know and to believe God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find is that every now and again, we try to make a move on our own, and God stands in the way. You ever notice that? There may be this or that, so forth and on. God will stand in your way. I remember one time that I wanted to buy a new vehicle, and it looked like that God was going to stand in my way. But I finally worked it around that I didn't have to depend on God to get it. And I remember that very well, even whenever it got to the place I couldn't pay the note. I said all that to be able to say this. I should have had sense enough to be able to recognize and realize and know that God has put a roadblock up here somewhere. But I didn't. I had to learn it the hard way. As a result of that, you're going to find out is that in the day we live in, there's things that we may plan and places we're going to go and things that we're going to do. And somehow or another, God just puts a roadblock in the way. I want to say to you that, if you will, there's been a many a person told me, well, I was going to do this or I was going to do that, but it just seemed like God's gotten away. So you're going to try another alternate route. If you keep on long enough, God will go ahead and say, go ahead and do it. Go ahead on. You know, the first time Balaam wanted to go and God wouldn't let him. The next time he begged God, and God, next time, had it not been for that donkey standing out there, had it not been for that dude, buddy, refusing to go because of the angel of the Lord, he would have went on and had his head taken off by that angel. I want to say to you that as you begin to look into it, that you recognize and that you realize you can't force God's hand. You better just enjoy being in his hand. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to be able to find out is that in these verses here, this man that is sick of the palsy, Jesus tells him his sins have been forgiven him. And I want you to notice that, if you will, in verse 7 of chapter number 2. And why doeth this man speak thus blasphemies, this religious lost crowd said. Who can forgive sins but God only? Now, boy, there's something people ought to grab hold of. Because God's the only one that can forgive sins. When Jesus said, thy sins being forgiven, it's more than a hint that he is God incarnate in human flesh. Let me say to you that, if you will, the Jehovah's Witness crowd do not believe he's a God. They don't even believe that he's the Son of the living God. Let me say to you that, if you will, he not only is the Son of God, he's God incarnate in human flesh. Now, the Bible said that whenever he got through, he told that man, Jesus immediately perceived they were criticizing him. By the way, did you ever notice that Jesus was criticized a lot? You and I may be thinking that, you know, I don't like criticism. Well, I'm sure Jesus didn't enjoy it either, but he perceived what they were doing. And he said, well, I want to ask you this. Would it be easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk? And I want to tell you right now that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon this earth to forgive sins. He says unto him that, I say unto thee, take up your bed, arise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man done just that. Now the Bible said, and that's the reason why in verse number 12, is that all that were there, they were amazed and they glorified God. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that it can leave you speechless. They finally spoke up and said, we've never saw it on this fashion. Never realized that, no, there were anything like that could ever take place. Now, I want to tell you, I've seen a lot of amazing things that God's done. Listen, he saved my soul, snatched me as a brand from the burning. Saved your soul, snatched you as a brand from the burning. Made you a changed, new creature in Christ Jesus. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, by the way, you'll find there's a lot of religious people. The only change that they've made is down the aisle in the baptistry on the church row. They live the same way they've always lived, go the same places with the same crowd, do the same things. And let me tell you, there's never been a change. Nobody's amazed at them. As you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you're going to find there's a lot of you that I can look at across there. That when God done something real in your heart and your life, it amazed your kinfolks and they're still sitting on the sideline waiting on you to give up and give out, fizzle out and quit. I got to say to you that we've all got family, we've all got acquaintances in our family that we would love to come to see to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days, we're hoping to be amazed in their behalf at what the Lord's able to do for them. In verse number 13, whenever Jesus went forth again, you know what he's doing? He's looking for the next person that's willing to listen to him, that's willing to receive him in the free pardon of sin. Is that person here this morning? Is that person maybe going to be you this morning? You know, that question was asked more than one time. God was knocking on my heart, and before I ever said, yes, Lord, and received him in the free pardon of sin. But when Jesus went forth again, he's looking for another person that can stand amazed in the presence of God. Number two in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out, is that the crowd, here they are, they resorted unto him. And let me tell you, they came to where he is. Now, you know, there's a lot of stories about where Jesus was, but they wanted to be right where he is. And I want to tell you right now is you'll find that whenever they came to him, he taught them some things about that right there. Remember when you first got saved, you just wanted to know more about him. You wanted to be able to walk with him. You wanted to be able to go with him. That's the reason why that whenever it was noised abroad that he was in the house, people began to come from here and there and yon and everywhere, and they wanted to be able to see Jesus for who that he was and to be sitting at his feet and to be taught of him. In this lesson, you'll find is that Jesus is able to teach us about real salvation. And let me tell you what he'll do is whenever real salvation comes to you, he'll change your thinking. He'll change your heart. He'll change your life. He'll change your talk. He'll change your walk whenever you come to know him in the free pardon of sin. You'll learn something about yourself whenever you sit at the feet of Jesus. You'll learn something about sin when you sit at the feet of Jesus. You'll learn something about the way of salvation. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, you'll find a lot of these celebrities. I was, do y'all know that Mark Wahlberg? Most movies that he's in, if it's got 10 words in his sentence, 15 of them will be cuss words and be bad. Is he a good actor? I don't know. He's a good cusser. But he comes on, you know, every now and again and says, hey, could I invite you to come in and pray with me? And they walk inside the Catholic Church and he dips his finger, I guess it's in the holy water, and he gets down on his unholy knees and goes through the motions and this and that and so forth and on. Do I like old Mark? I think I do. I think I like Mark Wahlberg. I think I do. He's had some entertaining parts and this and that and all of that. Of course, you have to listen to it with cotton in your ears, because if you don't, then you're going to forget about what he prayed. I want to say to you that, if you will, when you sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you do that, you're going to learn about yourself, you're going to learn about your sin, and you're going to learn about the real way of salvation that's going to change your whole life forever and forever. I want to tell you something. You're going to have a move that comes from God before you're ever going to be changed by God himself. It's going to be more than just going through the motions, dipping your finger in a little holy water and saying a prayer and repeating some rehearsed sayings. It's going to be a move that comes from God, a call that comes from God, that comes knocking upon your heart's door. What a wonderful day that is, because that kind of person there, when they get up, their life is so changed, they stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, that in verse number 14, the text that we've read, he walks by, there's a receipt of custom, a tax collector, if you will, please. Now, you know, nobody I ever knew likes a tax collector. Jesus is about to save one. And in verse number 14, you'll find that he calls Levi. Did you hear that? The Bible said, he told him, he said, follow me, and notice that. And the Bible said, he said to him, follow me, and he arose and followed him. What an immediate response that he had. You know, when God begins to knock on your heart's door and begins to awaken you to your need for Christ, there ought to be an immediate response. There ought not to have to be able to, well, let me think on it a while, this and that. When God comes knocking to your heart's door, it may be you that he's calling. And when God does call you, it's going to be you that has to make the response. I want to say to you, the Bible said, and I like to be able to look at it, and he arose and followed him. I want to say that when Jesus comes on the scene and God begins to deal with your heart, he knows exactly which one you are, how to single you out. He can give you something that'll pass all understanding of your comprehension. And whenever he came to know him in the free pardon of sin, immediately he got up and began to follow the Lord. Not only that, but he wanted Jesus to come home with him. Now, in this day and hour that we're living in, you're going to find out this man here was found by the Lord Jesus. This man here followed the Lord Jesus. This man here is sitting down in his own house and feeding with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, if you're feeding on the Lord, you're feeding with the Lord. There ain't no two ways about that. In this Bible lesson, Jesus in his heart, Jesus is now in his home. And let me tell you something, is that he's feeding with the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you, there were some other people that were feeding there with Jesus that were called sinners. And of course, the religious crowd, and how in the world is Jesus going to eat a meal there with them sinners sitting there? But I can tell you the reason why that he didn't pay it any mind, because Jesus knows there are not only some sinners that are there that need Jesus, that are eating a meal with Jesus, there are others that are there that are feeding on him, that have been washed by the blood and born into the family of God. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, they criticized him, our Lord, for eating with sinners. I'm glad that the Lord, in spite of myself, in spite of others that may have doubted, I'm glad the Lord reached and snatched me as a brand from the burning and saved my soul from a devil's hell. The religious have always been critical of what Jesus is doing and what his disciples are doing. Now, I want to tell you something. When a religious man is critical of the Lord, he's already contented with himself just like he is, without any hope, without any God. You know, their excuse would be like this: well, I don't particularly like the preacher. I see. You didn't like Jesus either, did you? Well, I've got to be able to get involved, and I've got to do something to be able to work my way, surely. And so they wanted to depend upon them. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that a religious mind will never comprehend what a righteous God is able to dispense unto them. You ever talk to anybody about the Lord? Well, you know, I don't see how in the world you can claim to know the Lord, and then they've got a question or two. But it won't take you long that after you've answered a question or two from the Bible to them, you'll find they're not really interested in what God's answer was to their question. I got to say to you that as we think about this in the Bible, is that the religious mind has never been able to. It is not this morning. It won't be tonight or tomorrow. They're not able to comprehend the righteousness of God. Now, in this lesson that's here, you'll find that God called this sinner. And as a result, when God calls him, he calls him to repentance. What do you think the Lord said something about that thy sins are forgiven thee? See, we're not serving a Lord that saves us in sin, but saves us from sin, and there's a vast difference. Now, I want to say to you that, if you will, that when God calls a sinner, he calls him to repentance. Last but not least, in verse number 21 and in verse number 22, here's what he says in the passages that are there, and that is, when real conversion has been given by the Lord, it produces a new creature in Christ. That's what he says. In other words, what he's saying is, being saved is not putting an old religious patch upon an old garment. Being saved is putting a new suit of clothes on an old man. There was somebody argued one time that I can't remember the man's name anymore, but there was some atheist that wanted to give him an argument. And they were in a debate thing before an open forum. And the atheist got up and said something about, if your God is so real, why is it that he doesn't put a new coat on every man? And it came, the other Christian guy got up, and he said, well, my God's not interested in putting a new coat on every man, but he could. But he puts a new man in every coat. That's a vast difference. The world can sew as a seamstress and build another new coat and put it upon any man. But only God can take and make a new creature and put a new man in an old coat. I got to say to you, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. And let me tell you, I stand amazed. Why God would even reach down and snatch me as a brand from the burning, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And if you're a child of God, you stand amazed yourself. We've got folks, you know, now I've been, like I said, I've been doing this thing now, as you well know, a little over 50 years. I can't tell you how many people are sitting on the sideline waiting for me to fizzle on out. You'd think after 50 years they'd quit working, quit watching, but no. There's nothing they'd like better than to find out I throwed up my hands and just said no, and I'm not doing this anymore, and just quit and go to living like they live, you know. Do you realize, though, that while that every drunk you know wishes you'd take a drink with them? If you were to, they would stand absolutely in disappointment because of the fact, I can't believe. Do you realize that all the only people that are down at a bar room, you know, what's the name of that famous one here in town? Lug Nuts. That tells you right there, you're just a crazy lug and you're nuts for going in there. But if I were to go down there and sit down, as many people as I know, do you know what they'd be doing? Preacher, what are you doing in here? They don't expect me to be in there. They don't expect you or a child of God to be in there either. As we look into it, Jesus Christ, buddy, is not interested in a welfare program of seamstry that would take and make a new coat and put on a man. You can put a new coat on a man all day long, and if he dies without the Lord, he's going to hell without hope, without God. But what we're looking for is a God who can take an old coat and put a new man inside of it. Are you that person? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. There are those that are here this morning, and no doubt that you have reached and snatched as a brand from the burning. We thank you for saving us and loving us. And Lord, we pray for that soul that's nearest hell without God. May you knock on their heart's door. May you trouble them till they find themselves at an old-fashioned altar, having confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior of their heart and life. Now bless, I pray, every home that's represented here. Be with those that could not be. In Jesus' name we pray.